going through the Lord's Prayer. So by way of a bit of background, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer spoken by Jesus and can be found in two places within the Gospels. It's in chapter 11, verses 2 to 4, and it's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Now, in Luke's version, he gives us a shorter version, and it's in response to a question from the disciples. In Luke 11, verse 1, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." So that's the version in Luke. But a similar version can be found in Matthew's Gospel, which is the one that we're going to be looking at, the one that we probably know and recite regularly when we was at school, the one that we know. And that is, the Lord's Prayer forms part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was directed at the disciples and the believers, but was also likely heard by many who were there out of curiosity. Jesus was renowned for speaking, and people would gather to hear him. So his message was for the believers, but many more would have heard this. And Jesus had spoken about the blessings to the believers, also known as the Beatitudes. I think it was a couple of years ago now that we actually did a whole series on the Beatitudes and the importance of those messages and the blessings that Jesus spoke. He then went on and spoke specifically on cultural and behavioral topics that probably would have sounded quite radical and different to the current accepted beliefs of the time. And these topics were concerning anger, concerning divorce, concerning making oaths and promises, concerning loving your enemies, concerning your giving and your finances and what to do with money, and also concerning prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer has incredible cultural significance. I already said that most of you probably learnt it and recited it at school in assemblies. And before the Bible was translated into English, it would have been spoken in Latin. And in this country, it was known as Paternoster, meaning Pater, meaning Father, Our Father. So the prayer, Our Father, Paternoster, would have been known by many. And in fact, when I worked up in the city, right by St. Paul's was a fairly new structure called Paternoster Square. If you go to Paternoster Square now, it's full of shops and cafes and a lovely, quite a modern square with statues in it. And if you go there at lunchtime, it's full of city workers all buying their lunch and tourists. And its origins, well, it's interesting, there's two origins to it. One is that Paternoster Row became the centre of book publication. So if you look at old books, that often in the front cover they'll have an address from Paternoster Row. But the origin before that goes back to medieval times. And at medieval times, many of the monks couldn't read. They couldn't read the Latin. So they'd learn the Lord's Prayer, Paternoster, off by heart. And what they would have is, I've got some with me here, they'd have some rosemary beads. Here are rosemary beads. Here I've got mine here that was brought as a present from Vatican City. And they would recite the Lord's Prayer over and over again. And they would count the beads. Okay, and they believe that by doing this, they get themselves closer to God and connect better to God. And Paternoster Row, they possibly either made or sold those rosary beads for the monks and for believers in order to be able to say the prayer over and over again. And really, you know, the Lord's Prayer for much of our culture has become almost like a chant, something you recite because you believe that God's going to hear you and he's going to protect you. So say your prayers before you go to bed. Say the Lord's Prayer and God will protect you. Or say it almost like a lucky charm. Okay, and it's lost its meaning for what Jesus intended it for. And so why it's important for us to study the Lord's Prayer is we want to sort of get away from that and get back to its what Jesus actually meant. Because what Jesus actually meant was that it would form a structure or a guide of how to pray. So Jesus was saying, look, these are the building blocks of how to pray. And if you do these things, I'm going to help you get to connection. It's not about being a chant or something we just trot out. There's something much deeper in it. So let's read the scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. Come up. Thank you. It says this. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. I think it says pagans up there. But Gentiles do. Just what I was saying. Do you see, Jesus told us not to do this. And yet that's exactly what we went ahead and did. We just babbled on and on and repeated things. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The beginnings of the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 and 10 were about drawing toward the glory of the Father and giving him praise. This morning, I want to dig a little deeper into verses 11 and 12. These are, give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let's take verse 11. Give us today the food we need. Or the more familiar King James Version, give us this day our daily bread. Now, Do we think that Jesus here is referring to our physical needs, i.e. food, or is he talking about our spiritual needs? Now, I found that as I was looking at different ideas and commentaries on it, and that actually I came to the conclusion that it's actually both. Jesus is asking us to petition. Mike explained the petition meant that when we talk directly to God for something that we want last week. When we ask or petition God to receive from him that which we need to live. Now this includes food, money to pay our rent, our mortgages, our utility bills. We can ask the Lord for support during the seasons in life where money is tight and we may struggle. Shoes for the kids. The car needs servicing. You know, my mum loves to talk and remind us of a time when we were small. My father had felt God was telling him to go to teacher training college. I must have been about 6 or 7 years old. And he felt God would tell him to leave his job and go to teacher training college to go back to being a student and to study. And at the time, there was the four of us, my mum, my dad, me and my brother, and they had to go back to living on a grant. And they got rid of the car, and my father would cycle to the college every day to do the study. And my mum would be passionately praying for those essentials that we needed. And she says, you know, I'd say to the Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? We've got a wedding coming up and there's no outfits for the kids and I can't afford to buy it. And she said, and that Sunday, we go to her mother-in-law's, my father's mother, and you'd have a whole kit to wear the Lord had heard my prayer. I'd be praying for food and somebody would knock on the door and they said, look, we've got this left over. We want to give it to you. And the Lord heard my prayer. And she has countless examples of where when you petition the Lord and you're in need, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. Let's look at the time Moses was leading the Israelites out of captivity from Egypt. And they're in the desert. And Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and the people were grumbling because they had no food. And they were saying, we were better off in Egypt. And that Moses had led them to die in the desert. That despite being in captivity and slaves to Egyptians, at least they had food. And God heard their prayers. And he rained manna from heaven. In the morning, the ground was covered in dew and a white natural bread, and it tasted good. God had provided their needs. But it came along with a provision. It came along with a provision that God gave them, a strict instruction. And we can read this in Exodus 16. 19 to 20, it says this. Moses said to them, no one is to let any of it remain until morning. But they didn't listen to Moses. Some people left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and smelled. Therefore, Moses was angry with them. This account of the manna from heaven is a reminder that God provides us with our needs for each day. We are instructed not to worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. God is encouraging us to trust him and not to be afraid about what might happen, but to focus on just today and not to reflect on the past with regret and longing, oh, we were so much better back then. Look at us now, gone backwards. The Israelites forgot all the amazing things God had done for them. They began to complain and say they're better off back in the day. How quickly they forgot what God had done. They forgot they'd witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, the plagues and the pestilence and all that incredible things that God had done. It had lost their mind because at that point they couldn't see past what was happening. We need to focus on God's provision for today and trust the Lord for all the rest. Now, Tim actually covered some of this, but I'm going to do it again. I think we can't do this preach without really mentioning that we are currently, as a nation, going through a cost of living crisis. It's regularly discussed on TV and radio. Lots of airtime has been given to this. I listen in my job as a painter and decorator. I'm in people's homes. I'll often have the radio on, and I tend to listen to Radio 4, and it seems to come up all the time. There's interview after interview or discussion where they talk about how the cost of living crisis is affecting people in this nation, millions of people. And the strikes are all completely interrelated, aren't they, into what's going on as people struggle. So we as a church intercede and help support those who don't have enough. On the other side of that wall, in the lounge, a cabinet stuffed full of donations to be given out to families that cannot afford to feed themselves. So it seems appropriate right now for us as a church to come together and become intercessors. We can stand in the gap and ask God to help those who are struggling financially. Just pray with me. Lord, we pray for those in our community and in our nation who struggle to make ends meet. Lord, you know their needs. You know the fear and anxiety they must be feeling as they worry. They're going to lose their homes. They can't afford to keep the heating on and have to make sacrifices. Lord, we pray for the volunteers who diligently work to support these vulnerable people. And we thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for Ruth, Wendy, and Emily, and Joe, and anyone else who works hard and makes sacrifice. Lord, we thank you. And we ask for a blessing on those vulnerable people. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned earlier that I believe that Jesus was also talking about spiritual food as well as physical requirements. It says this in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is saying, ask God to give you the spiritual sustenance to feed your soul. The way your soul is fed is through all the things that brings God's truth into your life. That's coming to church, through worship, through listening to a message, through home groups, through sharing with other Christians about God and his ways, through prayer meetings, your devotionals, and very importantly, through reading God's word. You know, when I first came back to faith, one of the things I do, and I know I've mentioned this before, is I download the podcasts of the preachers because I wanted to connect again. I wanted to hear more about God as well as worship music, and I would watch the God Channel quite selectively, I have to say. You know what it's like. And I'd go to the God Channel and I'd find a really good preacher and I'd just absorb it. I'd say, thank you, Lord. You know, it was a great time of coming back to faith and reconnecting. Of all that activity feeds the soul, and Jesus is saying, petition God for more. When we feast on God's word, it brings us nourishment. Jesus said in John 6, 48 and 58, I am the bread of life that comes from heaven. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Our daily bread was given to us by God through his son Jesus. And we celebrate that nourishment through the sacraments, through the Eucharist, through the communions. Jesus is the daily bread that we need to feed us, to fill us, and to lead us to eternal life. Let's turn our attention to the next line in the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Why is forgiveness so important to Jesus? Well, the thing is, we humans have a problem. No matter how good you are or how hard you work, you can never be good enough to have a relationship with God. He's just too holy. God is too holy. Isaiah 64, verse 6. All of us come like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. But Jesus, as we were singing earlier, paid the price for your sins. God's forgiveness through Jesus makes you right with God, and you can have a relation with him forever in heaven. That's why we have to regularly search our hearts with humility and honesty and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. You know, Jesus teaches us several things about forgiveness. This is important. I think this is sometimes why we may struggle with forgiveness. God wants to forgive us and not condemn us. He wants to forgive you, not condemn you. I want you to picture God with his arms wide open, and he's looking down on you, and he's seeing you, and he's willing you to come to him and repent. He is not condemning, wishing harm to come upon you. He never stops loving you. He wants you to be free of the burden of sin, and he wants you to be in relationship with you. Remember, God's love for you is 100% unconditional. When you get that pang of conviction and you see what you've done wrong, act on it. Act on it. Say, Lord, forgive me, please. That was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes it's not always clear that what we need to repent for. It may be you're struggling to connect with the Lord and it feels hard work and you're worshiping, you're reading scripture, but something there is just a barrier in the way. You can't work out what it is. Well, why not ask God to show you? Lord, have I got unresolved sin? Show me what I need to repent for. It's possible you're not even aware of the things that you're doing wrong and dishonoring God. Your bad attitude at work or slipping into gossip with a friend. You may need a nudge from the Holy Spirit so you can stop. God wants us to forgive others so that he can forgive us. You know, before Christmas, you may recall, I spoke a little bit about Satan's strongholds and gave the illustration about bitterness towards some boys at school. Events that happened 35 years ago, but the memory is very vivid, and so is the anger that I felt at the time, still fresh. See, that these sins, when they take root, they form like a stronghold and very hard sometimes to break out of. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit showed me that that was something I needed to work on, to repent of. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, is very clear in the instruction to seek for forgiveness and to give others who have sinned against me. How can God forgive me if I'm holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness? The first part of this petition is conditional on the second. To be forgiven, we must forgive. It's so important. If you want the Lord to forgive you, we need to forgive others. Mark 11:25 says this, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that the Lord in heaven may forgive you for your sins. It's exactly what I just said. We can see that one is conditional on the other. Jesus doesn't want anything to stand in the way of your relationship with God. Also, God wants us to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we feel remorse for something we have done wrong, and we feel rightly convicted, and we take it to the Lord and we say, I'm so sorry. And God hears us. He hears our heart and he forgives you. Scripture tells us in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. In other words, once you've taken that to God, it's forgotten. It's forgotten. You meant it from your heart. He saw your pain. He saw your shame. He saw it and he forgave you. Now you need to believe it and accept the truth that you are forgiven and that you need to forgive yourself. And carrying the weight of unforgiveness is emotionally tiring and exhausting. It's also important to know this. You don't have to do this in your own strength. I'm aware that what I'm saying here is not easy stuff, you know. You could be carrying this for years. It can be a very heavy burden and, you know, these are raw pains that you're touching. You don't have to do this in your own strength. Asking for forgiveness takes courage and strength. Forgiving others is a tough call. And take strength. And forgiving yourself, take strength. The good news is that you don't have to do it on your own. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help. The Holy Spirit is a supernatural power source that God has given us. So we can say to the Lord, Lord, I really struggle to forgive myself for this thing that I did. Please help me. Please take away my guilt. Please take away my shame and replace it with the knowledge and peace that I am forgiven. Soon we're going to go into a time of communion. And when we do, I want you to please reflect on the following, because communion is a time to connect with God on that relational level that Mike spoke about last week, that relational thing that we have, which is between us and God. You know, the Lord's Prayer kind of can be divided into three parts, because you've got the nourishment, which is what I spoke about. You've got the forgiveness. And next week, Chris is going to be talking about the guidance. Okay, these three parts. And so we are focused on the nourishment and the forgiveness in this particular preach. But I just want to summarize. Petition the Lord to supply your physical and spiritual needs. Can we have the next slide up, actually, please? We need to focus on God's provision for today and trust him for tomorrow. You know, that can we can apply that to this church, can't we? We can say, Lord, what, let's focus on today and we trust you for what's going to come. God wants us to forgive us, wants to forgive us, not condemn us, and wants us to forgive others. And then lastly, God wants us to forgive ourselves. So this is how I want it to work. In a moment, I will lead us in prayer. Then I'm going to ask that we sit in quiet contemplation for about 5 minutes with the slide up. And suggest you read each one and where you feel prompted to pray and to bring it to the Lord. Give yourself time to engage and reflect on it. Try not to be too distracted in your thoughts. I know it's easier said than done. But if you can do that and have that honesty, just take the time to let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Then we're going to have a time of communion together. And then when you drink the wine and reflect, you can say, thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice and for your forgiveness. So we forgive and then we can take the communion. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the ultimate gift of your Son. As we remember the day of your birth, we acknowledge that you came to earth as a child and started your plan to rescue the world. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we can come to you, broken vessels, damaged. And your arms are out wide and you're saying to us, come to me. Bring your burdens to me. I want to nourish you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you a life that is full of joy, not one of oppression and heaviness and struggle. I see your hearts. I see what you want. I know exactly how many hairs there are on your head. I know you intimately, better than you know yourself. This is what the Lord's saying to us. Father God, I just lift every single person here, Lord. And as we go into a time of reflection, Lord, I pray that you will speak directly into those hearts, Lord, that they can reach to you and you'll hear them. Father, I pray for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.